1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says the number of federal workers accepting his buyout offer is 5 to 10% short of the goal he was hoping to hit.
75,000 is a lot of people, and we paid them well. You know, we gave them a lot of months of severance pay, if you call it that.
Trump also announced his reciprocal tariffs on imported cars will begin April 2nd. Investigators now say the crew of the Army helicopter that collided with an American Airlines jet last month may not have heard an order to pass behind the plane. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy.
We will issue an urgent safety recommendation. If we see that something needs to be acted on immediately, we won't wait till the end of the investigation.
In Italy, CBS's Seth Doan reports Pope Francis has been hospitalized with severe bronchitis.
He has been keeping his busy schedule. We saw him outside presiding at Mass on Sunday, an outside Mass. It has been kind of chilly in Rome, and we've seen him breathless a few times over the last 10 days.
The Pope is 88. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Governor Tony Evers is touring the state and visiting Head Start child care providers. Melissa Kay has more.
On Wednesday, the governor visited locations in La Crosse, New Richmond, and Wisconsin Rapids. These visits highlight the Year of the Kid and the Evers administration's efforts to keep costs down for working families. Evers said Wisconsin's economy is strong because so many parents are able to stay in the workforce. Head Start programs are possible in part because of federal funds.
If Congress decides not to do Head Start, there's nothing we could do to kind of correct that mistake. That's a 60-year-old federal program. I just don't think the state could do any more than what I'm hoping they're going to do in this next legislative session.
The 2025-27 executive budget will include ongoing funding to make the Child Care Counts program permanent. This includes investing over $500 million aimed at lowering child care costs, supporting this critical industry, and investing in employer-sponsored child care. The lack of federal funding would have disastrous consequences for states and critical programs that support kids, families, and communities in Wisconsin.
It would be an unbelievable shame if the president decides, we're done with this. Moms and dads can take care of it. That would be horrible.
Governor Evers said Democratic legislators are in favor of funding child care, and he's hoping they can work in a bipartisan manner like they did with shared revenue and the Brewer Stadium.
We worked bipartisan in a bipartisan way. Hopefully child care counts will be one of those this time.
He said they just need a handful of people to understand how important child care is for our kids, our working families, and our economy.
The 2025-27 executive budget will be published in the upcoming days. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
It's the NBA All-Star Game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks' Damian Lillard was just 9 years old when his father took him to the NBA All-Star Game at the Oakland Arena, not far from where they lived. They saw Tim Duncan, Shaquille O'Neal. This weekend, at age 34, Lillard will perform in his 9th All-Star Game as a player just across the bay in San Francisco.
Something that I'm extremely proud of, proud to be a part of it, and just being in that environment and so many people that I grew up with, that I grew up around. And, you know, people who really know me and know my background and my story to be able to see how far I've come. I'm excited for them to be able to see that.
College basketball, big game for Wisconsin tomorrow, taking on number 7th ranked Purdue in West Lafayette. Game time at noon. Greg Gard was on the Jim Rome Show.
Well, I think just how this roster was intentionally put together, and then it's up to the players to perform and bond together and grow. And this group has done a terrific job of that.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, snow will come down. It could be heavy at times, and we'll pick up about 3 to 5 inches of accumulation, maybe more in pockets, low around 15. For Saturday, snow before noon, then cloudy skies and a high near 27. Sunday's high around 15.
Currently, 17 degrees. On Saturday night, it's a battle between the number one and number two ranked teams in girls high school hockey in a rematch of last year's state championship game as the Central Wisconsin Storm takes on the Bay Area Ice Bears. Catch all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 7:20 and the opening faceoff at 7:30. Central Wisconsin Storm Hockey on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Coast to Coast Marketing. It's the second-ranked Central Wisconsin Storm taking on the number one-ranked Bay Area Ice Bears. Saturday, starting with the pregame show at 7:20, opening faceoff at 7:30 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
Let's rock some local music this weekend on Max Inc. Join us as we welcome Kaylin Cole and Lexi Liu, plus Yanni and Rocker will stop in for a visit. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday evenings at 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Welcome or welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Today, we're looking back at some of our favorite moments from the past month. In this hour, it's a favorite episode from a Monday with Harvey K. Here is Monday, January 27th on FDR and militant liberalism.
Jazzed as hell, Harvey K., he's our favorite Delano Democrat. He's a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, it's always a pleasure. Welcome back.
This is the highlight of my Mondays.
Monday? Well, the whole week, man.
Absolutely. But if I think about it like that, then I long for the Mondays.
Longing. I love it. Harvey and I will text each other throughout the week. And so we always have lots and lots to talk about, Harvey. Before we get into some of the executive orders and the actions of this administration, as we were preparing for the show today, you asked, where are the Dems? What are the Dems doing? And I threw this one out there from the Washington Post. Democrats flipped the script, eyeing debt limit to block Trump's agenda. Now, generally, that'd be the Republicans who would hold, you know, that kind of leverage over the Democrats. And apparently there's some folks that are thinking that, well, now is the time for the Dems to maybe hold that over the Republicans' head. Obviously, that could be calamitous. But my understanding, hell, man, the Republicans are telling America there's going to be a little pain. You're just going to have to deal with it. There might be some inflation. Maybe coffee's going to go up. Eggs aren't going down. So, you know, too bad, so sad. Get over it. I don't think the Dems should necessarily be as concerned. And I say that, of course, people are concerned when things are hard for people. I get that. But that's not of the Democrats' making. This is a Republican administration. Republicans can get things done if they get the votes and get things happening. They're not gonna. What's your thought of the Democratic Party, you know, standing up, be it the debt ceiling or some other major piece of legislation that the Republicans are gonna need those Dems on? I think they should play super, super, super hardball. Gloves off, Harvey K. That's what I say.
Well, you should point out that when you brought up that question of the Dems playing hardball by blocking some, you know, the debt limit. That was instigated by my saying, well, where are the Democrats?
Yes, where are the Democrats?
But I'm stupid. I should have checked. How many Democrats would have to cross the aisle to enable the Republicans to move
to get something done?
Well, yeah.
I think if the Republicans, given that it's a budgetary issue, that the Republicans all are in unison, they could get it done. But there's those hardcore Republicans who have never, ever voted for a debt ceiling raise.
Yeah.
So if you assume some of those cats are never going to do it anyway, they have to come to the Democrats to get anything done in that
regard. You mean in terms of, in other words, the hardcore guys wouldn't lift the debt, or men and women would lift it.
Yeah. I mean, what do I think of it? I think anything that shows the Democrats are there and trying in some way to make a difference over the horizon in people's lives is a good idea. of course, I can imagine, and one says, I can imagine Trump saying, okay, yeah, well, we'll shut the government. But as you and I have already observed, shutting the government is not a popular thing to do.
Yeah, unless the Republicans won't get their Social Security checks, Harvey K. That's not going to, you know, imbibe them to support this party, if that's the case.
Oh, wait a minute. I get Social Security checks. Hold on a second. No, but seriously, it is striking. The Democrats should stand up on and make life difficult for the Republicans.
Yes.
However, I hope they're smart enough, really smart enough, and dynamic enough to get a message out as to why they're doing it. Now, we're not just doing this to obstruct government. We're not just doing this basically to embarrass the Republicans. We're doing this because we have a vision and an agenda. And if we don't start challenging the Republicans, think of the nightmares that will ensue from all of these executive orders. I will say this was interesting to me that when FDR, I always go back to FDR, when FDR took power in 1933, when he was inaugurated, the first 100 days became legendary, not just famous, but legendary for the kinds of initiatives that were launched. But they were launched by way of congressional votes. They were legislated. Okay. We now have, this is what makes it seem so horrific. We now have this slew of executive orders that have come out during this past week, which range from both the most serious kinds of things, like challenging the Constitution on birthright citizenship, rounding up people to deport them. I mean, serious stuff, as well as, to me, seriously silly things, such as the Gulf of what? America? Okay. I mean, that's ridiculous. Our allies, nobody in the rest of the world is going to make that change in their vocabulary and their atlases or otherwise. And there are some other silly things, but too much of it is very, very serious. So it's important for the Democrats to start making noise about the fact these are not legislative things. These are executive orders that threaten the very meaning of democracy. I mean, they should really get out there and they've got to start pitching why.
Yeah, and certainly, folks are listening to the Dom Salvi Show. That's Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. As it pertains to the debt ceiling fight, I think that's pretty easy. Well, you know, the only reason Republicans want to raise the debt ceiling is so they can fund the tax breaks for the wealthy. We want to make sure that, you know, that Social Security and Medicare are viable and for the future. That's, you know, and angle it and put it in that respect, because come on, man, there are way more of us than them, Harvey. I don't understand how this is so lopsided. The many over the money, man. The many can always beat the money if they, you know, speak with one voice.
Yeah, no, and you're right. I mean, what I'm getting at is they need to be already making that message heard. And right now, I mean, the only thing people know right now about the Democrats, if they know anything at all, is the fact that they've got this inside the party election going on, which seems to be coming down to the head of the Democratic Party here in Wisconsin, right? Ben Wickler. Mm-hmm. Versus Ken Martin, the head of the it's as if Wisconsin's playing Minnesota in that. What is the award? The Paul Bunyan?
The axe. They play for the axe.
yeah. So I mean, as long as we can get the message out there as to why we're doing this, because you know the Republicans have a very, very loud megaphone that they're going to be shouting. Look, these are the obstructionists, and they're going to depend on people not remembering who their obstructionists have been all these years.
Well, isn't that part of the fire hose of activity is to keep people bouncing side to side, one foot to the other, trying to figure out what's going on? It's just a deluge of BS. In the meantime, we're jumping around. They got their hands in our pockets, Harvey K.
Yeah, it's funny. As you said that, I imagined the emoji on my phone that would fit that image. And there's one that where our heads are banged. It's like a head is going back and forth on the neck. One would have to sort of press it like 100 times to really get to the image of Americans' heads bouncing.
And we need to be cognizant of that, to not fall for the shiny objectism and stay focused on what matters. And it's relative to the people who are observing the activity. Does it matter to you, Harvey K., that every single Democratic senator condemned Trump's pardoning of the January 6th insurrectionists?
Yeah, that is... it is amazing to me that there weren't more Republicans willing to join in
more
challenging
or any or any zero. Well, man, they're all.
It was only. It was zero. It was absolutely zero.
There are no senators, Republican senators. No.
I had this fantasy that the former head of the the former heads of these parties would. Well, there are Republicans around the country, but not where it's important that could sign up for that vote, right?
Yeah, exactly. No,
horrific. Absolutely horrific. By the way, and let's be clear about what that implies, those pardons. He's released these folks who stormed the Capitol, invaded the inner sanctums of the Capitol, and threatened to hang the vice president of the day, who was a very conservative Republican.
He's still
a Republican.
You, Harvey, if I may interject, if I'm a member of a party and they all want to hang me,
Are you sticking around?
I think I'm going to start another party, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go there, man. What?
Right. I don't want to belong to any party that wants to hang me. How's that for?
That's such a low bar. My God.
Right.
I was going somewhere with that.
And the point I was trying to get to is the fact that that's the creation of what in Italy were black shirts and in Nazi Germany, brown shirts. That's how you make this paramilitary force out there representing a threat. And let's not forget that vast numbers of people actually didn't get to vote in some places in this country because there was coercion used against them to vote. Greg Palast, a journalist, has a strong point to make that, in fact, those kinds of activities might well have cost Harris key votes in states.
Yeah, Greg's been on the show in the past, and you take 10,000 here, 50,000 there, a few thousand there, add them all up over on voter suppression. Yeah, they can certainly have an impact on the result, and that's kind of the point. It's always pressure, Harvey. I mean, that is the concern that we have. Are you satisfied with what we've seen so far? Right. Coming out of the Democratic Party is a pushback against this administration?
No, because we still do not have a real, if you like, core of leaders who are speaking on behalf of the Democratic Party. Okay, I don't think Schumer and Jeffries are dynamic enough, determined enough, and some of the remarks they've made I find absolutely upsetting. Okay, and. You know, I mean,
I think Schumer is a little softer than Jeffries. I think Jeffries got some can be dynamic if he chooses to be. What do you remember specifically what Jeffries?
Well, there was something about, you know, placing our hope in God. It was something along those lines.
Jeffries. Yeah, you texted.
That was Jeffries.
Me,
right. It was Jeffries.
Come on, Jeffries.
Now, I don't mind. I mean, you know, freedom of worship. But don't presume that God is going to intervene, or otherwise Trump wouldn't have won.
Maybe the devil intervened, Harvey K. Here's what Hakeem Jeffries at Rep Jeffries tweeted out. Presidents come and presidents go through it all. God is still on the throne. And my buddy's comment was, hell of a strategy. That's not a strategy. I mean, sure, but what are you going to do about it? Doesn't God help those who help themselves, Harvey? Come back with us. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, Wausau's home for Up North News Radio.
On Friday night, it's a high school basketball doubleheader as the Marathon Red Raiders host the Phillips Loggers in both boys and girls basketball. Coverage begins with the pregame show at 5:30, the boys tip off at 5:45, followed by the girls. And you can hear all the action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Marathon Basketball on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Marathon Park City, Four Seasons Screen Printing, Brickner's of Little Chicago, County Materials, the People's State Bank, Marathon Cheese, the Dirks Group, Marathon Family Dentistry, and the Marathon Athletic Club. It's Marathon hosting Phillips in both boys and girls basketball. Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 5:30 on your home for high school sports. 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
Hello there, this is James,
Melissa,
Chad,
and Seth, inviting you to come work with us. Civic Media is looking for a full-time sales professional to work with existing and new broadcast and digital media clients.
We're a fast-growing company that offers competitive wages, benefits, a relaxed working environment that focuses on quality of life, and includes a team of support to reach our shared goals.
Join us in continuing what we have done for 80 years. Be a part of the community, put into the community, celebrate community.
Find out more by contacting Chuck Gennaro at 715-935-8030 or email chuck.gennaro@civicmedia.us. All inquiries are confidential. Civic Media Incorporated is an equal opportunity employer, and we look forward to you joining us.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I was a teenage anarchist. Looking for revolution. I had the style, I had the ambition. Read all the authors, I knew the Russogans. There was a war, but the class war. I was ready to set the world on fire. I was a teenage anarchist. Looking for revolution.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. We're revisiting January 27th with Harvey K.
Jess, you hear me, right? Do me a favor. Whatever that song was, send me a link
you
to that.
Got it. That was okay. A Teenage Anarchist by Against Me.
Oh, that, I got to put that on my Spotify if it's available.
I'm like, I'm a middle-aged anarchist.
It doesn't have quite the same.
I wish I could call myself, and I wish I could call myself middle-aged, but I've never called myself an anarchist, but I love the Chumbawamba. I mean, they were anarchists, right? Are anarchists. No, I loved you. I used to love it when they played Chumbawamba's You Can Knock Me Down, whatever,
at
Lambeau Field.
Right. You know who you're listening to? We're listening to Harvey K. Once again, he's a professor emeritus of democracy. We still love democracy in this country, right? Right? From the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. I got some callers going to get to you as well. 855-752-4842. Our pal from the leftist coast, L.A. Tom, you are up. Happy Monday, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, happy Monday, Dom. Harvey, I want to ask you, how is it that we can get two questions? One, how is it that we can get more people calling up and we can actually develop a strategy with all our senators and representatives on the Democratic side to say, I am a proud Franklin Delano Roosevelt Democrat? That's my first question. And my second question is, how do we get these politicians to stop saying, I don't take money from lobbyists, I don't meet with lobbyists? Like AOC says, why don't they just say, I want to fight to get money out of politics? I want to fight to get lobbyists out of politics. I would have a much more pleasurable message and going towards those people if they just said they want to get money out of politics. Even if they take it right now, I'd rather them say, I want to get money out of politics and do it that way rather than I don't take lobbyists or corporate money. It just doesn't really seem to do anything to people.
All right, well, great questions, Tom. Thanks for calling.
I'll start with your second question, Tom. I would love to see controls on the monies in politics. It would be great to have publicly funded elections, but our opportunity to get that kind of change passed us by. There wasn't a moment when you had the likes, say, of McCain and Feingold working together to control those kinds of, you know, resources polluting our politics. I don't see that happening now. But to go back to your first question about how do we get more people saying I am an FDR Democrat? Well, I would love that. I wish we could have had Bernie saying that the yes. two times that he ran. I think that would have, I think that he would have actually found himself even more votes had he done so, because people might well have run from his democratic socialist language. The only thing I would tell you is that, and maybe this is not going to happen as much because we're supposedly moving out of the woke era, right? There are a lot of people who don't want to say FDR Democrat because it conjures up images of the days of still of segregation, or it conjures up the image of the internment of the Japanese Americans. I mean, there are reasons people do not want to use the term FDR Democrat. Having said that, I mean, I'd be more than happy to call myself a New Deal Democrat, something like that. But I'm more than happy also to say FDR Democrat, because to my mind, if I can just, I sent this to you as well, Dom, FDR said very clearly in the introduction to his volume, 1938 volume of public papers, "I have always believed that, and I frequently have stated that, my own party, the Democrats, can succeed at the polls only so long as it continues to be the party of militant liberalism." And what did he mean by that? It is clearly, if you look closely at other things he said and at the policies and legislation he pursued, it means social democracy, okay? Not simply liberalism. Though liberalism itself is unfortunate, it's taken on the lack of, it's actually lost its aura. But that I think is essential for us to be talking in those terms. Yes, Tom.
855-752-4842. The fact, the money and the politics thing, a few things, the lobbyists. I think we have the right to address our government, right? I mean, if I have a problem with X, Y, or Z, I can go to my legislator and lobby for changes, right? That is the action. Now, there are paid lobbyists, got that, understand that.
Yeah.
That would, you know, do that for different organizations. I think that's appropriate. I think that is, you know, there could be a group of labor. You know, hey, we represent a lot of labor. We want, you know, these kinds of changes made to the laws. And yeah. You know, whatever the case may be, we have the right to redress or address the government as a matter of our constitution. So I think that's okay. Now, the big problem is not the lobbying, not the asking, right? It's the delivering of the money that becomes a bigger problem. But yeah. Wouldn't the value be, you know, really, hey, I can deliver these votes. You know, shouldn't you be able to persuade, if you're going to be a lobby for a position, to say, here's our position, here's why we want it, and here's the folks that are going to come along in this manner to push this. And if you support that, they will support you. Right? Is that like old fashioned to me, or is it all about just, you know, money in a duffel bag, Harvey?
Yes, that is old fashioned of you. But being old fashioned is okay by me. I mean, I may be a radical, but I'm a radical in an old fashioned way. I'm not a reactionary. Let's get that clear. Let's not lose touch with that word, reactionary, as opposed to radical. Radical was progressive. Reactionary really did want to go back to the kinds of things Trump would love to drag us back to.
But to your point on radical militant liberalism.
Yeah,
I want to dive into that a little bit more on the other side. You're a smart guy, man. How does that pertain to today's environment in today's language? If things kind of change over time, as you mentioned, I want to get a better handle on that.
Back in a minute with more from January 27th.
Kissed. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, home of the Chad Holmes Show.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The support for a statewide Office of Violence Prevention is gaining ground in Wisconsin. Melissa Kay has more.
Safety experts and advocates say they're hopeful it will save lives. Federal investments have historically been helpful in efforts to address the causes of violence before it happens. But with the recent Trump administration-ordered spending freeze and rescinding federal grants, these efforts may be in jeopardy. Governor Tony Evers announced he is directing $10 million to the Office of Violence Prevention. The funds will come from the American Rescue Plan Act. It's still unclear whether the Trump administration will impact federal funds for programs like these.
And it's tax season, and tax scams are as predictable as taxes themselves. Here's Lisa Hale with what to look out for.
The Wisconsin Better Business Bureau warns of scammers posing as the Internal Revenue Service trying to trick people into paying up or sharing personal information. If you receive a call saying you owe back taxes and pressuring you to pay with a prepaid debit card or wire transfer, this is a scam. Scammers try to push you into action before you have time to think. The IRS will allow you to ask questions and appeal. The IRS will also always contact you first by mail, not by phone or email.
And it's a day to celebrate love. But with the winter weather advisory in effect tonight, you may want to rethink date night. Snow will hit hard this evening, with a hefty couple of inches already on the roads by the end of dinner, and gusty winds too. Visibility will be low and snow will blow and drift and recover some roads. If you must travel, don't be rushed and drive slow. Take turns, roundabouts, and ramps easy. And never use cruise control. You need to be able to feel what the car is doing and if the tires are gripping. Also, have a winter weather emergency kit in your car. I'd stock things like kitty litter, a shovel, extra gloves, hand warmers, chargers, battery bank, and a flashlight. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Forever bros Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes are coming under fire from Kansas City Chiefs fans for having a double date with their best girls, Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes, fairly certain it was in that order, just 24 hours before the Super Bowl. What? Word on the street is that Taylor Swift ordered a huge Kobe burger and French fries, and according to Chiefs fans on social media, that could be exactly why the Chiefs laid an egg in front of a worldwide audience while trying to three-peat. No idea what Kelce and Mahomes had to eat, but after seeing the way they played during the big game, I'm guessing it had lots of tryptophan. Irate Chiefs fans, most of whom I'm guessing probably never played in a Super Bowl, disapproved of the double date, insinuating that said date and hanging with girls so close to the big game was obviously the reason.
It's time for Marathon High School Sports on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Marathon Sports is brought to you by County Materials, Marathon Part City, Marathon Cheese, The Dirks Group, Brickner's of Little Chicago, The People's State Bank, Four Seasons Screen Printing, Marathon Family Dentistry, and the Marathon Athletic Club. It's time now for Red Raider Sports on 98.9 WXCO.
And good evening and welcome to Marathon High School Basketball on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Tonight, it's a boys-girls doubleheader and a very, very good doubleheader, as the Marathon Red Raiders host the Phillips Loggers. Up first, the boys' game. Phillips 13-6 overall, 7-5 in the Marrowood North. Marathon 12-7 overall, 9-3 in the conference. Meantime, on the girls' side, Phillips 17-5 overall, 11-3 in Marrowood play. And Marathon 16-5 overall, 9-5 in the Marrowood. So, boy, really a couple of terrific matchups, and both do have some implications on seeding for the upcoming playoffs. In fact, the girls' basketball seeding will be announced on Sunday, the boys next week. Coming up, I will be joined by former New Mecca head boys basketball coach and my cohort on the Big High School Sports Show, Jeff Grass. He'll be our color commentator tonight. But coming up next, After a quick break, we will hear the pregame comments of the head boys basketball coach of the Marathon Red Raiders. I'll be talking to Adam Jacobson next. It's Marathon High School Basketball on 98.9 WXCO.
County Materials has been a trusted industry resource and a leading manufacturer for concrete construction and landscape products since 1946. Our success wouldn't be possible without our dedicated and hardworking team members. We recently celebrated Team Member Appreciation Week to recognize our people and their contributions to the company. County Materials proudly invests in our team members through skills training, career growth and relocation opportunities, and competitive wages. Join our team by visiting work@county.com.
Marathon Cheese Corporation is looking for dedicated workers to join our winning team on second and third shift. Wages start at $17.27 per hour, and there's plenty of opportunity for advancement and higher wages. If you're looking for a job with great pay and benefits, with a set work schedule in a clean, climate-controlled environment, stop in at 304 East Street in Marathon and fill out an application, or check out our website at www.mcheese.com. That's www.mcheese.com for a listing of all of our open positions.
Does your office have a disaster plan for data? Have you tested your backups? Even something as simple as a hard drive failure, power outage, employee error, or lightning strike can stop your business cold if you can't get to your documents or email. Prolonged downtime costs money and could cost your company everything. That's why the Dirks Group offers Rapid Recovery, a disaster recovery solution that can help you get your data back fast. Rapid Recovery uses a remote backup system that's monitored and verified so you know your backups will work in the event of a disaster. With the Dirks Group and Rapid Recovery, you get the peace of mind of knowing everything is taken care of. Your data can be restored quickly, accurately, and easily. Visit DirksGroup.com to learn more about Rapid Recovery and other Dirks Group IT services that go beyond the network.
Marathon High School basketball continues on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I say that all because of what I was talking about. Chad Holmes joined by head coach Adam Jacobson of the Marathon Boys. Coach, I was the same to you as well beforehand. Tom has done the last few broadcasts that we've had. We're almost to the end of the year. We've got about 2 weeks to go in the regular season. Looks like it's been a little bit up and down. How would you judge the process of this team this season? Because obviously, going into it, you knew there's going to be growing pains. How do you feel about where the team is now, 2 weeks away from the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, you look at it, it's like, you know, one frame of mind is like we're four possessions away from being 16-3. And then, that's positive of it. Then the negative of it is we're four possessions away. You know, so Harvey, but I told the guys last night, you know, in the ups and downs, there's one thing we have been consistent at, and that's getting better. We have, you know, individually, guys making plays maybe they haven't always been comfortable making, us collectively. So through it all, you know, we're close. You know, I mean, so I was talking to one of our assistants, we're close. Are we close enough? I don't know, but we're close, you know, and we are getting better. You have to trust the process. You have to enjoy the process, and I hope they have. You know, something, you know, ball hasn't gone in the hole as well as we've liked. We can't necessarily control that, but our defense has really improved. Our rebounding has really improved. Our ability to take care of the ball has really improved. Individually, we've improved. Collectively, yeah, I can stand here. You know, I can't believe where we're at, but I am very happy with who we're becoming.
What about the chemistry between the guys? Because obviously, again, different roles. And, yeah. And I've seen you during saw you very early. I saw you a few other times as well. In terms of, you know, guys knowing their roles, guys being able to play well together, have you seen a chemistry develop that will help you coming down the stretch?
I think so. You know, we're probably playing more guys than we, you know, historically have, but that's because, you know, we've got some nice depth, I think, you know. We've had some guys out with injuries and illness a little bit. You're battling that, but everybody is, you know. So we've had many guys start. We've had eight different guys lead us in scoring throughout the year. Now, you know, maybe we don't necessarily have the go-to guy maybe we've had in years past, but if someone doesn't have it tonight, someone else has, you know. And so that's where you still need to build that consistency game to game, game to game, that maybe one guy pops from a scoring standpoint, but it's not because other guys weren't there. It's just that guy had that night. He had his shot. So we're still working through that, but they're great kids, get along really well, and they want to be good. They really do. They're working their tails off. Nobody's going to fault their energy and their effort and their attitude. It's just sometimes it comes down to making a play we haven't been able to make, and a stop we haven't been able to get, but that has no fault to who they are or how they're working.
Matt, what you just said kind of begs a question, maybe a little bit of a harder question. How important is it to have that guy when you talk about the fact that there's been so many this season I'm surprised you don't have more gray hair because you've had so many close games. Yeah. How important or not important is it having maybe the guy when it comes down to the stretch of a basketball game against a good opponent?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. You know, first of all, you have to be in the fires, right? The only way to gain experience is to go through it, and we have, and we're learning a lot from it. But yeah, you know, even if you do necessarily have the guy and you're making points, sometimes you have to have, you know, other guys make a play because they're going to take that guy away. And we're learning that, right? Like, you know, just take like Drew, for example, right? Like, they're probably in the past couple years, maybe the fourth, fifth score. Well, now they're what the defense is trying to take away. So your shots are different, your looks are different, and then have other guys. And, you know, now that we have balance and that balance is getting confidence, I think we have a lot of guys, you know, that are capable of making that play. Now you need the confidence and the understanding of when to make that play, and we're building that. So, yeah, I mean, maybe we don't have the 25 a game, but we might have 6, 7, 10 a game, you know, and that can bring its own positivity and challenges for others, I would think.
Tonight, Phillips, and one thing that's also been kind of noticeable this year is maybe in past years the crossovers have been, for lack of a better term, almost half a night off because you've had some, you know, some really good success. But this year, it seemed like a lot of competitive games against Northern. I imagine here with a Phillips team that's had a good year, again, a really pretty good stiff challenge.
Absolutely. It's a huge game for seeding, huge game in the league yet, which we still, you know, holding out hope yet. And but, yeah, you're exactly right. The North is much improved, and they're young. You know, like you look at a lot of these teams bring a lot of guys back, and the Merriwood next year, both sides, is really going to be a pretty loaded league. So, yeah, it's exciting. And night in and night out, we have been challenging night in and night out. Guys want to play big games, you know, and this is another challenge for us tonight. And it's what you want, especially as you're getting in the second half of February, right? Like, we want 2 weeks to get this thing right. So we're playing our best when our bus ride home from Auburndale, everybody's 0-0. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's prepared you, but it doesn't matter. You know, you lost this one close, won this one close. We're 0-0, and we're trying to make a run over a three-week period.
And finally, what does your team have to do tonight to get a W?
Well, hopefully we can make some shots. You know, we got to get good looks and confidently shoot it. Take care of the ball. Rebound. Heikkinen's a tremendous guard. We got to keep him in front of us. Can't let Abraham and Rivik get confident. And just play confident. You know, that's they just forget thinking, forget what I might think, forget what – just play. Just play confident, play loose, play to the best of your ability. And that's what I really – surrender to the outcome, you know, and just play.
Best of luck tonight.
Right, thank you.
Head coach Adam Jacobson of the Red Raiders will come back, have the starting lineups and the opening tip coming up next. This is Marathon Basketball at 98.9 WXCO.
At People's State Bank, community is reflected in everything we do. So when you bank with Peoples, you help support local charities and businesses, help new homeowners establish roots, and create stronger communities to live and thrive in. It's a uniquely Peoples approach that's always paying dividends, and a pretty good reason to make our community yours too. Visit us at bankpeoples.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And Chad Holmes along with Jeff Gress back here at Marathon. Red Raiders and Phillips. Real quickly, the starting lineups for Phillips. J.J. Heikkinen, 14.2 points per game. Lane Abraham, 17.5 points per outing. Colin Kleinschmidt at 8.7 points per game. Braden Rivak at 9.2 points per game. Shade Denzine at 7.8 points per game. For Marathon, True Thurs, 9.7 points per game. Drew Wolfel at 10.1 points per game. Landon Snyder, 6.6 points per game. Also, Ian Shuda, 7.4 points per game, and Cody Ratke, 7.4 points per game. And welcome, Jeff Gress. Perfect timing.
And thank you for having me. I'm glad I made it out here. Everything today's working against me, so I'm looking forward to some good high school basketball.
Should be a great doubleheader of high school basketball here tonight. Marathon in the home white, Phillips in the road black. Marathon going left to right in front of our broadcast position. Tip is battled for, controlled by the Raiders, and we are underway. Landon Snyder on the right wing side, looks baseline, goes to the basket, kicks it left corner. That's true Thurs. On the wing to Wolfel, back to Thurs. Thurs looks baseline, stop. Looks down low, bobbled by Ratke. Ratke kicks it back out. Now resetting between the circles is Wolfel. Back inside Thurs, double team, forces it up, draws the contact, draws the foul, and a couple of early free throws for Marathon.
I love the early look on that. I mean, the ball moved well inside out and used his body well to get inside.
Very good. So Marathon will head to the free throw line. Raiders 12-7 overall, 9-3 in the Merrowood South. Phillips 13-6 overall, 7-5 in their conference, the Merrowood North. And the first free throw for Thurs is up and good. Marathon comes off a one-point loss against Pacelli earlier in the week on the road. And talking to the coach in the pregame, lots of tight games for Marathon this season. Lots of really good competition as well, as the second free throw is good as well.
You got to love that because that just builds character and makes it strong down the stretch. Full court press, you're applied by Marathon. I like that they're going to turn the tempo up tonight.
Here comes Phillips breaking it into the forecourt. With it is J.J. Hakkinen. Hakkinen, second leading scorer for the Loggers. Dribbles about 22 feet from the basket. Rotated left wing side, Colin Kleinschmidt into the deep left corner. That's Lane Abraham. Abraham, the leading scorer, skips it back to Hakkinen. Hakkinen looks baseline. Good defense by Landon Snyder. Kick back out. Taken there by Abraham. Abraham back to Hakkinen. Three-pointer from the right wing is good.
You got to love that. Outside, inside, bounce for the kick. Drills the three. Nice play by Phillips there.
So 3-2 Loggers. 54 seconds into the game. On the right-hand side, Ian Shudup hands it off. Drew Wolfel. Wolfel looking to penetrate. Wolfel to the hole. Lays it up and in.
He's going to be tough to stop. He just likes inside and push the ball up with that physicality that he has.
He looks as physical as anybody on the court, doesn't he?
Definitely, yep. He's got a size advantage that way.
So now Marathon up 4-3. Phillips back into the forecourt with it. Lane Abraham rotated on top. Hakkinen again for three. Marathon got away with one that time. That was an open look for Hakkinen. Came up short. Rebound cleared, and the Raiders back up court. True Thurs on the right wing side, 23 feet from the basket. Dribbles, now looking to get inside. Kicks it out. Holding it is Cody Ratke. Ratke stops his dribble. Gets it out top to Wolfhold. Left wing side, Landon Snyder. Snyder looks down low, and grabbing it was Ratke. Tried to toss it into the corner, and it was touched last by Phillips.
I still like the way they're always squared up in the basket. Marathon every time, parallel looking inside, seeing what they can get on inside-outside kicks.
Raiders will inbound on the far sideline. Take it on the left wing side by True Thurs. 16-18 to go first half. 4-3 Marathon. Left corner, Wolfel. Back to Thurs. Thurs at the left elbow. Moves it right wing side. That's Landon Snyder. Snyder at the free throw line, up for 14. He'll be hacked in the act to get a couple of free throws.
Another good move to the inside. Got inside the lane and tried to drill the jump shot. Every shot they've taken has been inside the lane for Marathon.
It's an interesting lineup for the Raiders. They got one senior in Cody Ratke, got one sophomore in Ian Shuda, and then three juniors. So, again, it's not an overly experienced team. Again, last season had such experience, and it's been a process so far this year as the first free throw is short.
And that's what you get. Guys step up. This experience, this inexperience in youth becomes experience as the season wears on, and I think they definitely have a nice size advantage down low that they need to keep attacking.
20th game of the year, I guess. You would hope that the lessons are being learned.
Right, they have to be.
Second throw no good as well. Rebound is grabbed by Lane Abraham. Remains 4-3. Marathon, 16 minutes to go in the first half. Taken out top, rotated to Abraham in front of the Marathon bench. Abraham 23 feet from the basket. Abraham dribbles with the right hand, now works around the screen, moves it right-hand side to Hakkinen. Hakkinen looks baseline, goes to the hole, lays it up short, no good. Fight for the rebound, tipped up twice, goes out of bounds off of Shea Denzine and the Loggers, and the ball goes over to Marathon.
And what I like is Marathon hands up, attacking aggressively on the defense and making it tough shots in the inside. They're going to have to fire from the outside. Phillips wants to stay competitive.
15:40 to go first half, 4-3 Marathon. True Thurs looking to penetrate. Thurs, a little banker from seven, no good. Rebound tipped off the backboard and grabbed by Lane Abraham for Phillips. Hakkinen will bring it over the timeline for the Loggers. Now moved left wing side, Josh Edwards. Now with his Braden Reback. Reback's pass over the top of his target, picked off by the Raiders, heading to the basket, laid up by Snyder, up and in. Bad pass, and Landon Snyder goes coast to give Marathon a 6-3 lead.
Well, you don't want to be giving up too many turnovers. Phillips has about 15 a game, and that's going to be in Marathon's favor if that continues to happen.
Abraham looking to penetrate. Good defense again by True Thirds, but they're going to say a reach and a foul. Interesting matchup. Thirds obviously also a kid that can definitely go physical, and Lane Abraham averaging more than 17 per game.
I was just going to say, and there's that matchup. They were all over him the minute they went. They don't want to let him get loose because he's their leading scorer.
Inbounding on the baseline will be Phillips out top to Abraham into the right corner. That's a reback. The shot goes off the window. Nothing but window. Rebounds grabbed by Drew Wolfel. Up court again comes Marathon. Ian Shootout, left wing side to Snyder. Snyder gets it back out top to Wolfel. Wolfel, right wing side, Cody Radke. Now with it on the right wing, faking the jumpers. Wolfel gives it back over to Thirst. Top of the key, Radke moved left wing side, Shootout. Shootout back to Radke. Up for a right wing three. Hits it.
And that's the luxury you get by having those heavy posts fighting inside. You're going to get that inside-outside game going every time.
First bucket for Cody Radke. 9-3 Marathon. 14:25 to go in the first half. On the right wing side with it is J.J. Hakenin. Looking down low, almost losing his balance, but grabbing it is the postman, that's Shea Denzine. And Denzine will lay it up and in.
And they're going to have to bring some help side on the weak side because that's a mismatch they're going to take advantage of every time.
9-5 Raiders. Truthers, a little bump, but no whistle. Left wing side Shootout. Back out top to Thurs. Thurs to Shootout. Left hand side. Shootout trying to penetrate. Back out top. Radke. Radke into the lane. Stops. Oh, and it's swatted away that time by Denzine. Picked up now by Abraham. Abraham into the forecourt. Oh, he put a shoulder down. He got away with one there. But keeping possession is Denzine. Now Abraham, 25 feet from the basket, right wing side. Looked like a little push there, didn't he?
As a coach, for me, that's a little bit of cue that there's some frustration there if he's going to start cleaning up space. But if he doesn't get called for, he's going to be able to do it.
Haken in on the left wing. Still 20 feet from the basket. Move to Abraham, right wing side to Reback. Reback looking inside, nowhere to go. Patience right now for Phillips in the half court. Left-hand side, Edwards trying to go inside. Little ball fake. Banker is no good. And the rebound is grabbed by Marathon and Drew Wolfel.
Did a great job clearing the boards with one shot and done.
Wolfel takes it right into the lane. Kicks it out to Shootout. Shootout stops about 14 feet from the basket. Bounce pass, left wing side, Wolfel. Wolfel back out top to Radke. Cody Radke, 21 feet from the basket. Oh, getting tipped by Abraham, but Radke gets it back. Now Thurs looking inside. Post up by Drew Wolfel. Wolfel looking against Denzine. Ball fake up with the right hand. No good. Rebound is grabbed by the smallest player on the court, Snyder. Snyder kicks it back over to Shootout. Right wing side, Radke. Radke back in the corner. Three-pointer for Shootout. Rolls off, no good. Rebound is grabbed by Denzine for Phillips.
I was hoping they'd go back to that side with Thurs and Wolfel on. I think that's a dangerous two-man game if they're going inside it to the post.
9-5 Marathon, 12:33 to go in the first half. Phillips, left wing side, Braden Reback. Here comes the double for Marathon. Almost a palming, but pass to the right-hand side to Abraham. Lane Abraham, 23 feet from the basket. Rotated back on the left, J.J. Hakenin. Hakenin dribbles his way, but to circles. Hakenin moves it left wing side, Edwards. Edwards in front of the Marathon bench. Back out top to Reback. Reback hands it to Hakenin. Now left-hand side, Reback goes up from 14. A little bit short, no good. Rebound is grabbed by Truthers for the Raiders.
Again, one shot done, and Marathon just keeps pushing farther back away from the basket.
Left-hand side, Ian Shootout. Shootout into the lane. Good look inside to Radke, who lays it up and in.
Again, excellent dribble right to the free throw line. Head up, square to the basket, and drilled him on the baseline jumper.
Timeout brought to you by Marathon Part City. 11:54 to go in the first half. 11-5, Marathon back in 30 seconds here on 98.9 WXCO.
There are four reasons to see Four Seasons screen printing in Marathon. First, Four Seasons handles screen printing and custom embroidery on tees, long sleeve shirts, hoodies, and dry fits. Second, they're family owned and operated for over 18 years. Third, low prices. And reason number four to see Four Seasons screen printing, lightning fast turnaround. Four Seasons screen printing, open Monday through Friday from 8 till 4 at 12508 Highland Drive and Marathon. Call 845-1146. Email the number 4seasonsprint@gmail.com.
Again, every timeout brought to you by Marathon Part City. Thanks to Marathon Part City for their support of Marathon High School basketball here on 98.9 WXCO. Marathon Part City, 401 Pine Street in Marathon City. 11:54 to go in the first half. It is 11-5. Marathon with the lead. Early impressions.
Starting out with the full court press. I like this idea. Just make them play the whole length of the basket and work, because I I think they can break them down pretty easily.
Haken will break the pressure. Haken looking to penetrate. Kicks it left corner. In the game, B.J. Lowry. Lowry goes to the basket, lays it up and in.
That was a good quick move. Kid comes right off the bench, puts his head down. Normally they want him to get into flow, but he's ready to go.
Some instant offense for Lowry. Makes it 11-7 Marathon. 11:35 to go in the first half. Left-hand side for the Raiders. Into the game is River Stanecki. Stanecki goes to the hole, lays it up and in.
Another nice take. Both teams didn't want to cut the baseline off. Kid got the good look on the line.
13-7. Both teams looks like we could be in for a high-scoring affair here tonight. 11:18 to go in the first half. Out top, Josh Edwards. Edwards moves it right wing side. Haken. Haken up for a three. Hits it again.
Nice hit. That's been where their offense is coming from. Just giving up a couple of those threes is making a big difference in the scoreboard.
Second triple for Haken. 6 points. 13-10 Marathon. 11 minutes in the half. Down low. Good look. Laid up and in. Another bench player, Logan Peters, taking the feed.
Nice speed, had his head up, dropped it right to him, and he made a good look.
15-10, 10:50 to go first half. B.J. Lowry in front of the Marathon bench. Lowry dribbles with the right hand, works around the screen. Pass out top to Haken. Haken between the circles. Haken looking to penetrate. Right hand side. 16-foot jumper is good for Shade Denzine.
That's where you got to keep him out on that three-point line. He got the penetration and got the kick. His open look on the baseline shot.
15-12 Marathon, 10:28 to go in the first half. Raiders, Landon Snyder, left wing side. Now pass down low, Stanecki. Stanecki reverse, layup is good.
Good finish on the opposite side. Those are tough ones to see the basket right away, and he had his head up and knew exactly what he wanted to do.
Nobody's playing defense right now.
No. These teams average 60 points a game. We're going to hit pretty quick here if they keep going like this.
17-12 Raiders, 10:08 to go in the first half. Oh, Lowry finds a wide open Haken, and then blocked from behind by Stanecki. Looked like it was going to be an easy layup, but coming back with Stanecki to get the block. Left-hand side, true Thurs. Thurs gives it back to Stanecki. Now left wing, taken there by Sawyer Behrens. Behrens gets it out top. That's Snyder. Now pass down low. Good grab by Thurs. Lays it up and in.
Great entry pass. He put that right on the dime, threaded the needle right to the open hand and up.
19-12 Marathon. Not even to the halfway point of the first half. And now a whistle away from the ball and an offensive foul coming up on the Loggers.
There's been a handful of push-offs off the ball. That's the first one they catch. So now we'll see if play continues to be as physical as it's been so far.
Have not been a lot of fouls.
No.
Sometimes
but
that means.
Right.
It says that maybe they need to be a little bit more physical.
Now I got discussions, and we'll see what it is over there.
Reback gets the foul. Getting his first break will be true Thirst. So out on the court now for the Raiders is Logan Peters along with Landon Snyder. Also out is Sawyer Behrens, River Stanecki, and I believe that's Radke on the far side. Have to wait and see. But 9:38 to go, 7-point lead here for the Red Raiders.
Again, I think when somebody starts to stick somebody, these teams both want to score. They want to put the ball up. They're keeping the pressure on, trying to get that ball in the lane. So get those stops, and that game will become yours.
Stanecki, Behrens, and Wolfel, along with Logan Peters and Landon Snyder. Now we're ready to go. First of two tonight, both the girls and the boys here from the Marathon High School gym. Into the front court, with it is Landon Snyder. Snyder, a bounce pass left wing side, taken by Drew Wolfel. Now a whistle and another foul coming up.
Here's that tight, it's starting to get a little tighter on. We've got to get the hands off. We'll see how both teams adjust, because that could be big going forward if they start calling all these little touches, because it's been physical so far.
Had a long stretch where it just felt like up and down basketball. Foul is called on B.J. Lowry, number one on him, number four on the team. Just one foul right now on Marathon, and another Marathon Part City timeout coming up. Marathon Part City, 401 Pine Street in Marathon City. 9:28 to go in the first half. It is 19-12, Marathon with the lead. Back in a moment here on 98.9 WXCO.
When you order a steak at your favorite restaurant, you expect it to be cooked just right and to have it surrounded with all the sides you wanted. Hello, my name is Steve Brickner, and I feel the same way about cars. Here at Brickner Motors in Little Chicago, we'll help you order your brand new Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, or Jeep and get it equipped the way you want it and the color you've always dreamed of. That means you won't overpay for something you don't want. This is just another reason people make the drive north of Marathon to Little Chicago. We may be in the middle of nowhere, but there's no better testament that shows we take care of our customers better than anyone else around. You won't hear gimmicks, no over-promising, or under-delivering. Whether you choose from our in-stock selection or order factory fresh, quality vehicles and competitive prices are what keep people coming back again and again. Make the drive out to Brickner Motors on Little Chicago's northeast side and let our family take care of your family. You can count on us.
Is your check engine light on? Don't ignore it. Stop by Parts City Auto Parts today and let us scan and diagnose the problem for free. We'll discuss possible solutions and even help you find a repair shop if needed. Get check engine light help from Parts City Auto Parts at participating stores only.
Marathon Parts City, located at 401 Pine Street in Marathon City. Call 715-443-0003.
Parts City.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, streaming at BullFallsRadio.com.
And back here at the Marathon High School gym, and you caught right away what this timeout was about.
Yeah, the official I walked over kind of called it for himself because I can't tell if he's cramping up or because he came off the floor limping, and that's a tough. He can't even get up right now. That's a tough one because those guys, when they do such a good job like these guys have already off the start, they just kind of disappear into the game. But now, as much as it changes for the officials, if they can only go with two guys here, it's going to change the complexity of the angles and maybe the calls that are all seen all over the floor.
Well, the good news is it was a three-man crew. If it had been a two-man crew, that would really cause some issues.
Yeah, and he's got it. Something's hurting because
Pam
does a great job as the athletic trainer, but
Marathon. Yeah, he can't move.
Yeah, that's got to be tough. Not easy. I mean, these guys are here. I know everybody gets paid, but they're still here because they love the sport,
absolutely.
Love to help out. And you hate to see that. It's like when you run over in football or something. It's not any fun for that official to be in any contact or getting hurt on anything. So hopefully he's doing okay, and whatever this isn't a serious thing that's going to hamper him in the long run, especially when we need officials.
9:28 to go first half, 19-12 Marathon with the lead, but a very sharp start offensively for the Raiders.
Yeah, I think they're running their triple post offense, which we've been beaten by for years. When